Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
I'll see you along with that once again, guys. I love that tune so much. Good evening and welcome to the East Anglian's EDL radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. And tonight we have our co-host of the show this evening, our two co-hosts as such, and panelists, and we've got a
I'm everything.
I'm a co-host. I'm a tech co-host. I'm the producer. I'm the panelist. Oh, Jeffy, I'm a woman of wonders.
That makes such a wonderful show. But once again, I'd like to welcome Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox, Red Fox blogger with her own great shows. And, of course, in the background, and I see him struggling. He's struggling. And I've seen a YouTube clip of a cat very similar to this.
Oh, Jeff, you know what? Somebody put a camera recorder by his door, and they videotaped him trying to get through that cat door. Yeah, and he was struggling. Oh, my goodness, that poor Tim. Oh, my goodness.
Anyway,
no,
let's just welcome this gentleman into the room. Welcome,
Tim.
Cat Strangler 101. Who let the cats out?
Yes, all right. Settle down.
Settle down.
Good evening, Jeff. Good evening, Kel. Nice to be on the show with you tonight.
Enough of the
old cat flap jokes.
I know. It's disgraceful, isn't it, Tim?
It is disgraceful.
Yeah. You must lose a bit of weight, though, Tim. We see you struggling on that video. It was...
I've actually been down to the gym this afternoon to try and get a little bit of the weight off round the middle, so I can get through that cat flap a little bit easier.
That was a squeeze, wasn't it? I've got to admit.
It was a squeeze.
As you might not know, but I think that there's a video clip actually of Tim struggling through. One of the cat flaps there. It was sad to watch Timmy.
They might have noticed. I'll have you know that clip has gone viral. In fact, this afternoon, I think David Cameron was referring to it in Parliament. He was standing up and saying, "Have you seen that clip of that enormous ginger cat and all the other MPs in Parliament?"
I'm watching it right now.
We've seen that cat. Come on, talk about something else. We've seen that.
But anyway, Tim, without the humidity that we've had there, it's so good to see you back. I do know that you've had probably a traumatic sort of a day.
Oh, I've had a little bit of a day, but you know, nothing that the cat can't handle. So.
No.
I'm here tonight in combative mode.
Don't you
here.
Get your claws into, innit, Tim?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, to get my claws into. So yes, I'm okay, and I'm here to for a packed program tonight. What have we got?
Action packed.
Oh, we've got a lot of stuff going on. Oh, believe me, I was talking with Jeff about this earlier, and I was saying that. I'm reading these articles, and I'm getting very, very frustrated with the politicians. And I know a lot of them are rather ignorant, but we also know a lot of them are dimmies. I'm reading these articles from Lawrence Krauss and Dr. Bill Warner, and I was saying to Jeff, I said, I think maybe this might be something that we should tackle, and that is how our politicians are too afraid to discuss the 1400-year secret, and that, of course, being Islam.
Yes. Now, true, and how many times have we discussed it on the show about the complicitness of our politicians over the times? We always, you know, it's just nothing new, is it, Kel? We've been discussing this for such a long time. Basically, right from the beginning, I think we've discussed these issues. But it's good to highlight, because I know Kel's got some really interesting articles that we've just having a quick chat about just before the show went live this evening. So you know, maybe we can go into because Tim likes to dissect certain things, don't you, Tim? So,
nothing makes me happier than to dissect things on air. That's why I got thrown out of my biology class at school. But never mind.
You relish that then, Tim, don't you?
Oh, yes.
You do relish it.
I think everybody's familiar with Professor Lawrence Krauss, and he's the former advisor within the Obama administration. He came over to speak about the he was a panelist on the big debates, and he was shocked and flabbergasted in that once again Muslim men took precedence over Muslimas, in that they sat at the front and the women sat at the back, and he was just absolutely outraged by this, and he had a lot to say about that. He said that British people and British politicians in particular are too afraid to offend a vocal and aggressive section of the Muslim community who demand that their cultural values are accepted by wider society. He, this professor, he said he was shocked when he was taking part at a debate hosted by an Islamic group at a leading British university, only to discover that men and women were segregated. Now, this professor, he's a leading physicist, and he's an atheist, but all the same, he felt threatened. And well, he didn't feel threatened. He actually threatened to walk out unless organizers agreed to let men and women sit together. That was eventually agreed. Isn't that
nice?
Was
this a little while ago? Didn't we discuss this?
Yeah, this took place in March.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was going to say, because I do know that we did discuss it, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right. I just want to highlight this just to give people an idea of what this gentleman was highlighting. And he had a whole lot to say about the British politicians. And he said that when he took part in a debate in Australia, there was nothing. There were no problems. There was nothing, no segregation. But what he did suggest is that people were too polite, I think he was being rather nice. But he felt that the British government in particular were very much complicit in that they were appeasers, and that they were trying to accommodate far too much the foreign culture that has, what he felt, has infiltrated the country. And he said that people are not only afraid to offend, but afraid to offend a vocal and aggressive group of people. There is a segment of the Islamic community that is very vocal about this. And I have a short little clip here. This is him protesting about the segregation, and this is at where he was speaking. Here, I'm going to play that for you right now.
Thank you, Joe.
And that was him walking out of the debate at this. It was the event. It was organized by a group called the Islamic Education and Research Academy, which has now, by the way, been banned from holding events on the UCL campus.
Well, it's quite obvious. There's so much hoo-ha about what went on, and people were disgusted that this was going on within our universities, that there was, as I say, those meetings there, or those debates, it's come to an end. But it's only right. I mean, I could understand him taking offence with what he saw before him. It's totally disgraceful. Men sit there, women sit there, total segregation. And you know what? If I'd have been in this place, I would have probably done the same thing. I thought, this is disgraceful. And that's the way he commented on the situation. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him for what he did whatsoever. Good to see that he's a man of character and that, and that all these things that we speak about, that he walks out. Now, why should I be here when I can see the way that this thing is going, with the women being segregated from the men? This is disgraceful. It's nothing I want to take part in. That is basically what he said. I don't want to be here. Sorry. This is not my cup of tea.
Oh, yeah, and he totally walked out. And I put the link in the chat room for people to take a look at, and they can view that video as well. And all these Muslims, they're sitting there, and they're cheering. Oh, okay, fine. Oh, my goodness grief. Tim and Jeff, I implore you. But this is the sort of thing that we need. We need more of this. I may not agree with Lawrence Krauss and his policies because pardon me. I did appreciate his being on the big debate, and the debate being entitled Islam or Atheism, which makes more sense. Well, neither one, in my opinion, but I'm not going there. But this man to do this and to catch international attention, surely this is we need more voices like this, and
situation to highlight the issues that we've got with this cult. No ways about it. But that's exactly what it did, and as we all know, that video clip went viral. The world can see, and it's putting the thing about what it does. It just brings the awareness of what we speak about on this show all the time. It puts Islam under the spotlight. Guess what, Islam? You cannot hide your horrible ways. It's out there. You try to hide it under different things. But sometimes when there is a debate going on and the audience is segregated like that, in the United Kingdom, we do not accept this segregation. We don't accept apartheid in our countries. And that's the reason why that I think there's a lot of heads got together. So we can't do this. This is going to cause all sorts of problems throughout the universities around the country. So that's the reason why they did what they done, because it was only right that there was going to be implications of what happened there. So good luck to that gentleman, and Father Sim, I shake his hand and say, well done. You know, what can you say? And I think, Tim, you would be very much in that mindset as
well. I do, and we certainly do need more people like Professor Lawrence Krauss, who goes to, well, I'm sure he didn't choose to do this. He went along to take part in what he thought was just going to be a debate at a University College London, and then he was confronted with this situation, and instead of sitting down and keeping quiet about it, he chose to make a stand. And we need a lot more people like this who will actually make a stand when they're presented with Muslim cultural values being forced into our public places. Now, it's a shame that we didn't have somebody like him on hand not too long ago in my part of the world, where a Birmingham college caved in the face of Islamic intimidation and allowed the full-face veil to be allowed on campus, because originally they were going to ban the full-face veil, which is just another demonstration, another attempt at Islamic supremacy in the public space, which they are forever doing whenever they think they get an opportunity. Initially, the college turned around and said, no, we're in the interests of security and to make sure everybody is safe, we're not going to allow faces to be hidden. And then somebody started up a petition at this college in Birmingham and to allow Muslim women to wear the veil in public on college grounds if they chose. And the college backed down, which I think was a very, very retrograde step, but nevertheless, that is what they did. And consequently, it's just another little brick in the wall of Islamic supremacism, and I'm very glad that Professor Lawrence Krauss stood up against it when he did. But I did notice this week, and I'm just trying to find the link, and I'm sure I'll come across it. Somebody else may find it before I do. UK universities have actually got together and have issued a statement saying that under certain circumstances, segregated seating in university or college events may be permissible, which again I think is another retrograde step. We should be asserting
and it is appeasing the issue, isn't it? I mean, Tim, to me, it's just doing what we just said. It's segregating. It's basically another word for apartheid, and that is what they are trying to do there. You know, they're separating women from the men. You sit there, you sit there. This is wrong. This is so wrong. And it seems like these people now are appeasing. They are appeasing in case they have any sort of any problems that may arise if they do not bend down, bend over backwards and kiss these bloody Muslims' backsides, because that is what it seems like to me, putting it cold layman's terms. And I think you would agree, and I think Kel would agree, that's the case, that they are, certain circumstances we're going to allow. So it's quite quite obvious that they are bending the rules and what, you know.
The problem is not so much one of right and wrong. There are plenty of people out there who would say, who are we to judge what is right and what is wrong? The issue is whose cultural values are going to be are going to take precedence in our countries. And at the moment, we have been steadily giving away, inch by inch, the various freedoms which we used to take for granted. We've been giving them away to these Islamic supremacists because they have been bullying and intimidating their way into the public space. And one day it might be segregated seating in college debates. Another day it might be segregated swimming lessons for Muslims as opposed to non-Muslims and so on, which, of course, has actually taken place in some public swimming pools in this country. I'm not just talking about segregated lessons for women, because, fair enough, there are some women who are not comfortable swimming in the presence of men, and you do have women-only swimming sessions, and that is fine. That's all in accordance with our own cultural norms. But when they start saying, well, you can only join this swimming class or this swimming group if you're a Muslim, now that's just plain ridiculous. Because what on earth?
And I think it's not only that, I just think it's so dangerous. I think it's so dangerous for these women to swim in the full hijabs. I mean, you could drown with these things on. I mean, going in a swimming pool and with
a pool. Oh, for goodness sake, absolutely. Yeah. And they're filthy too. I'm not being rude or anything, but they're rather it's rather unhygienic garb. And they go into these like they don't, of course they're not, you know, they're not going in wearing the full burqa or anything like that. Goodness no, they're not doing that. But they have these things called a burkini. And I don't know how
burkini.
Oh gosh, yeah.
I'm thinking of getting one myself. They look very
bikini.
Woohoo! And just to let you know, Frank is here, and I think Frank has something to say about this too.
Well, good evening, Frank. It's always good to see you on the show, and I hope you're well. Yeah, good to see you, Frank.
Cheers. Yeah, great to be back. Good evening, all. Yeah, just carrying on with what you were saying. Hi, Kel. Yeah, Tim, evening.
Yeah, evening, Frank. How are you doing, mate?
Oh, pottering on.
Good, good.
No, I was just going to carry on with the flow there. About 3 years ago, I think it was, when Cameron in the European Union there said multiculturalism isn't working. And I think Angela Merkel and the French president at the time agreed. And since then, it appears nothing's been done. But I've got a different slant on it lately. I think there's a lot being done behind the scenes. It seems to me that, that all this, annual Obama, Kel, and Cameron and all that lot in the EU, they decided that they're going to go with an Islamic version where, as multiculturalism doesn't work, we're going to abolish it completely, and it's going to be under pain of death or slavery if you're anything but Islam. I think that's what they've gone. They've gone over the top and gone the other way.
Yeah, well, it's,
it.
Quite,
to,
it's quite obvious that they've lost the plot big time, Frank. And as I say once again, the word implications can arise from their misuse of their powers, what they're going to try to achieve. Because as we know, if they continue in the same style,
we can't accuse them of being incompetent all the time. They're not stupid. They're not incompetent. This is deliberate. We've got to start facing it.
On a lighter note,
do you remember, Tim, last Sunday when you said, because I never knew this, there's 73 different Muslim sects, yeah?
Yep, that's right.
Right, well, the penny dropped a couple of hours later and I worked out why they're always fighting each other. There's only 72 virgins and one of them missed out.
You know, I never even made that connection.
No.
Quite right.
Neither did I. Brilliant.
And a random one is the only one.
Yeah. 72 virgins and one camel. Mind you, they'll all be fighting. They'll all be fighting. Camel, wouldn't they, really?
We can carry on with that one for
brilliant.
A good 30 minutes.
72 virgins and one camel.
Oh, Frank, that's awesome.
Oh, that's so funny. Frank, thank you for having to think about that, bro. That's given me a good laugh, and I know Tim was cracking up, and I know Kel was. So, Frank, thank you. I say, once again, it's great to have you on part of the panel this evening. Very interesting, that issue, though, you know, the complicity of the politicians, which, you know, that's the highlight of the show this evening. And as I say, it is very much a talking point, isn't it? You know, that what we see around us and the way that they're behaving. And as Frank said, Tim just said just a second ago, that it's like it's been orchestrated, especially, you know, these are not stupid people. And as I said before, many, many times, the word social engineering comes into it. It always comes into my mind is what I see before me. When you travel through different parts of this country, it does feel that is the case. My own perspective on things, and probably the same as yourself, Tim, because Tim, I mean, lives there in very much part of Birmingham, is very much, I would say, in that direction. Would you not say that, Tim?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we've got areas of Birmingham which are definitely no-go zones, despite what anybody in the mainstream media or local politicians may tell you. When this has been discussed in recent months and years over in the local press, local politicians are at great pains to say there's no such thing as a no-go area in Birmingham. But that just isn't true. I mean, you would come to serious harm if you went into areas in, let's see, to name half a dozen, Ballam Rock, Bordersley Green, Spark Hill,
yeah.
Spark Brook.
Yeah.
Well, Washwood Heath, I mean, that's just off the top of my head. They are places where a lone a person who is obviously not a Muslim male, okay, after dark, if they were to venture alone, they would be at serious risk of harm. And it doesn't matter how much the politicians or the mainstream media try to pull the wool over your eyes and to reassure people, that does happen. There are cases of assault that take place, I won't say every day, but they happen with increasing regularity. And it's just, again, Islamic supremacists asserting their presence in the public space to make sure that in due course, anybody who isn't a Muslim will move away from the area if they possibly can. They'll sell up often.
So they basically turn it into giant ghettos, aren't they? That's how
the Islamic ghettos form on the outskirts of all major cities. It isn't because that people don't want to live with Muslims per se. It's just Muslims make it so unpleasant for anybody who isn't a Muslim to live amongst them. And so people have got better things to do with their lives than to sit around being bullied and intimidated by Muslims on their home turf, on their home territory, so they move. And who can blame them? Nobody can blame them.
I really don't blame them, Tim, because, you know, if you feel like, you know, you're under that sort of pressure.
Mate, hold on a minute. I'm not going to let them get off that light. Yes, if you retreat, if you intend to retreat, where are you going to go? Going to push you in the sea,
eventually. That makes a very good valid point there, Frank.
That's to surrender.
Well, of course.
But you get some people, Frank, and I think most of our listeners will, that some people, you know, maybe not associate with what we do and just want to live their lives and they can't part of it, you know. And they tend to move away. Simply, they don't want all the hassle. And that's all we're saying. We know people like ourselves. I'd stay to the bitter end, and I don't care what they bloody do. My home is my home. You will not intimidate me. And I think you're the same, Frank. I know Tim's the same, and probably Kel's the same. There's no way. But there are people out there that just want a quiet life, and that is the problem, that we've got people...
Because they're not going to get one, are they? If they keep ignoring this and retreating, they're not going to get a quiet life. Well, that's right, Frank. But as I say, you can see the mindset
of ourselves, Frank. You and me and people like Tim and Kel and other great people, there's no way we're going to be intimidated by these people. This is the reason why we have the show, because we are not going to be intimidated by these people. We're not scared.
The only thing I'm afraid of is the fatwa. Like, the fatwa does terrify me. I do not relish the idea of my being an infidel and the lesser jihad coming after me. Yeah, I'm terrified of that. That scares me. The lesser jihad, that scares the living crap out of me. But no, Islam as a whole, no. I can stare it down, and I will stare it down.
It's the thing about it, you see, because as we know, and I think that's what Frank was probably leaning towards, it is that Islam leads by fear and intimidation. You would agree with that, Tim, because we've often spoken about it.
I certainly agree, and that's why we see these situations occurring in every major town in Western Europe. It's not just the UK. It's not just Birmingham. It's every major town, every major city. The pattern is the same. As Frank says, in an ideal world, we would all fight back, but the fact is that most people do prefer a quiet life, and it is up to people like us who are knowledgeable and who have the capability of fighting back. It's up to us to bring it to the awareness of everybody that this is what's happening. And I mean, at the end of the day, the British in particular are really the indigenous British I'm talking about are a very polite, tolerant people, and they'll put up with a lot. And if somebody says, I want to take a little bit of your space, or sit, you know, I want to sit on your chair or something like that, we'll say, yes, please, help yourself, and we'll think nothing of it, which is fine as long as you've got a little bit of space further back to retreat to. But when you're up against a corner or in a corner up against a wall and there's nowhere else you can go back, then there will be a huge pushback. But really, what we should need, because we're a very tolerant, polite people, we should have, in government, looking after our interests, we should have people who are not tolerant and polite at all. We should have ruthless people who will just not take this kind of behaviour from Muslims anymore. Those are the kind of people we should be voting in.
I agree. We need, how many times we say this, we need politicians with a backbone.
I want to share with the fine gentleman. When I was doing some digging about the reticence of the politicians to actually step up and say something about the threat of the scourge, I came across this post by Dr. Bill Warner. And Dr. Bill Warner, he did a series of lectures, and he is a gentleman. He's in the United States. He's from the Center for the Study of Political Islam. And he did these now famous lectures about Islam and why we should be paying a lot more attention to it. And his lectures were titled, Why We Are Afraid, a 1,400-year secret. And I put the link in the chat room, and I'll repost it in the chat room. But his lectures were based on what is the true nature of Islam and why are we afraid to know about it. Now, he's also written a series of books, and the one book that he wrote, it does answer the first question. But his new talk video, it tries to address the second question. Now, a few months ago, he was approached by a guy who was videotaping his two lectures that he gave at Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he asked if he could post them on YouTube, right? And Dr. Warner said, well, okay. He thought, well, you know, who's going to watch a 45-minute talk, you know, from me? Well, it was wrong, because within 2 weeks, about 51,000 people had watched the entire talk, which is now being subtitled in German, French, and Spanish. Now, that speaks volumes in that we are hungry to understand this political entity that has invaded us. When Dr. Bill Warner, I mean, he's part of a think tank. Who would think that his name would become a household name because of these videos that he had done?
He'd become as popular as he. I bet that he didn't think about that so many people, you know, engaged with what he had to say on these videos, and very much agreed with what he said. It's no wonder that it went viral, that people, you know, really sat there and listened to exactly what he had to say, because he makes a lot of sense. And as you say, people are hungry to find out. You know, they know these things, but they just can't get their hand around it. What exactly is happening? And people like Bill Warner, people like ourselves, we open it up for them. We put it in layman's terms. We don't try to bamboozle anybody exactly what's going on. That's what this show, what we do from the show. People to listen in, they've probably over the time have probably learned a lot from just coming in and listening to us guys. You know, people like yourself, Kel, people like me, people like Tim and Tommy and Frank. And, you know, that's what it's all about. It's a learning curve. It's people learn, and hopefully we can educate people about this, as you would call them, the scourge, Kel. And that's what we're here for. And I think we're doing a bloody good job at it as well. So.
Oh, yeah, I think there's absolutely no doubt that we are making a difference. But certainly Bill Warner is a very, very good source of information. It's not just the content that's important. It's the way he lays it out. He lays it out in a way that's very easy for non-Muslims to understand. So this particular video that Kel's referring to, Why We Are Afraid, a 1,400-year-old secret, I'd say that would be required watching, really, for everybody who's currently listening to the show tonight. And when you've looked at that, if you follow on from that and look at other videos by Bill Warner, I've posted another lecture in the chat room. It's part of a series on political
Thank
Islam.
You, Tim.
He speaks very eloquently, very fluently, and in ways which are easy for people to understand, even if you don't know too much about the actual terminology and so on of Islam to start with. If you work your way through Bill Warner's videos, you will very quickly get up to speed with what the threat really is. And he also has a series of downloadable PDFs as well, which I'll try and find during the course of this show, explaining why the ideology of Islam should be viewed as a political ideology and not primarily as a religious ideology. And he breaks down the Quran and the associated texts, the Sunnah, the Hadith and Sirah and so on, into categories which demonstrate quite clearly that the primary force behind Islam is political and not religious. And he does it in such a compelling way that at the end of it, you're in absolutely no doubt that the way we should be fighting Islam is from a political point of view. There's no point trying to fight it as a religion. I mean, it's like trying how many angels...
Well, there's barriers that go up on that grounds, isn't it, Tim? We see this right now, don't we?
And it's not,
the barriers
it's not
are put up because they just class it under the religious... barrier.
It's not necessary and it's irrelevant, quite honestly, because there's no point trying to say, you know, my God is bigger than your God. That's totally irrelevant. What we're saying is our cultural values that we have as part of our Judeo-Christian civilization are vastly superior to anything that Islam can produce. Islam as a cultural model is a total failure, as a civilizational model. It's a complete and utter failure. And everywhere the civilizational model of Islam has been tried, it has ended up in injustice, poverty, misery, tyranny. It's just a total disaster from start to finish. Muslims themselves may be in complete denial about it, and they may And they may have pushed their narrative onto us to the point where at the moment our political elites and our mainstream media actually believe that it's a benign and peaceful religion of tolerance.
Yes.
But
the key has worked with them, hasn't it? Let's be honest, the key has worked with these people.
But if you look at what Bill Warner has to say in all his videos and all his PDFs, you will very quickly come to the correct conclusion that it's a political ideology, and it'll be very easy for you to see that the path that people like the EDL and associated counter-jihadist groups are taking is the right path to take. And I can't recommend his work too highly. I really can't. It's something everybody should look at. Look at all his videos, read all his downloadable PDFs. He does, if you're in America, you can actually order some books which explain the Quran and the Sunnah very, very simply. I don't think you can easily get hold of those books if you're outside America, but if you're in America, go to his website, which is either politicalislam.com or possibly cspi.com. I'm not sure which, but Kel will be able to tell you that. And get his books, because I think he doesn't give them away, but they're not expensive, and they are well worth looking at.
I would say, Tim, that very good advice there, and any of our listeners out there who's been following what we've been saying about Bill Warner, and you want to maybe engage you in some of the books or some of his works to do, please do. You know, and
here you go.
Say.
I found a website that people can go to, and these are books by Bill Warner, and they can go there and do a little shopping if they like, and I'll put the link in the chat room right now.
There you go. Kel's the Google queen, and Tim's the Google queen.
That I am.
Thank you so much, Kel. That's what I say. That's what I love about, you know, our panel and, you know, the people like Kel, people like Tim. You know, as we're talking, they're looking there, they're checking things out, so we're always very busy, you know, even though we're discussing with other panellists on the shows as well. So that's what I'm saying. We like to get the right information out to you, the great listeners out there, because if you listen to the show, you're really interested in what's going on, and you're very much been, you know, in tune with what the EDL's been doing, and other counter-jihad, anti-jihadist movements, everybody. Of course, this is one of the places that you know that we'll give you all the up-to-date information. As I say, this is the place to stay tuned. But not the East Anglian's EDL radio show, but shows like our up-and-coming, budding, new boy on the block, Mr. Tim Burton. He's got a show, and he'll be...
sort of talking about a lot of these issues in future shows. And of course, that's what it's all about. And of course, Kel also likes to dissect different things like she does with her own shows as well. So, yeah, we're all in this together, ladies and gentlemen. And as I say, information like, you know, go and look, check out Bill Warner, read some of his books, look at some of his videos. I think you'll be, put this way, it's best to be forewarned and to know sort of exactly the enemy, because this entity of Islam is an enemy to freedom, democracy, and everything that we treasure. So, you know, just that is good information. So you can study it, like what we've done that is part of the show over many years. Some of us have been doing it for many, many years, and we continue to carry on doing as we do because we know that people like yourselves out there are hungry to find out exactly what's going on around them. Why is this happening? Well, that's what we're trying to explain tonight.
Well, I think people are being apprised of the Islamic atrocities, and they're also aware that the politicians are sitting on their hands and not doing anything about it. People are getting very impatient. This is why people like Bill Warner and Lawrence Krauss, these people are very highly sought out. People like Ezra Levant, Geert Wilders. And, oh, by the way, I have to share something about Geert Wilders in a moment, but I'll do that maybe after the bottom of the break. But these politicians that are speaking out are the politicians that we're gravitating towards. This is something that our current politicians have to realize, is that the populace knows there's a threat. The populace feels it. The populace sees it. And maybe later on, Jeff, we can, and Tim and Frank, we can discuss the outcome of the Lee Rigby trial. But
we certainly can.
The thing. Yes. People understand what's going on. We're not stupid. We know what Islam is. We are doing our homework. Shows like Jeff's and Tim's and myself and everybody else, the Radio Jihad Network, all we do is we're the conduits, but we give you the tools to further your homework. And Jeff, they are.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. You know, people, you know, the conversations that I have with people all the time, they're really wanting to, they're hungry for things about what we speak about on the shows. And, you know, sometimes I can spend, you know, half an hour, three quarters of an hour talking to people about it. When I'm in town, Kel, you know, as I say, I'm always giving out, you know, me cars, this and that, for the show, and people are asking different questions about the EDL, what we're doing, and what's this problem we've got with Islam, and, you know, you're starting to explain, look around you, look down, yes, it's you look in your own eyes, you can see, this is your own neighbour. Look what's happened in your own neighbourhood over the last 10 years. Look, you can see it. You can see the transformation. And then people, they ask you questions. I say, well, there you go. If you want to listen and there's more you want to know, please tune into the show and I'll give them a card and maybe one of our flyers or something. You know, that's it. You know, that's what we do all the time, day in, day out. If I'm in town, that's what I do. You know, I'm always meeting new people. I love talking to people. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, I like talking. And I'm a great...
No way!
it's true. I've got to admit, I've got an ability that...
Frank.
I heard Frank. Well, I like to engage with people over the issues of Islam
Jeff, I think you do, like, you're doing the English Defense League such justice in being a spokesperson on the EDL radio. It is fantastic that you convey that. I always say that you're a man who stands on the shoulders of giants because you're not afraid.
Well, I'm only little, though.
Look, this is what's going on. No, you're not.
I'm only little, though.
Not my eyes. Not in my eyes.
But
you trip over me if I was walking along, Kel.
Okay, Jeff and I. All right, we're not on a Skype call, Jeff. No, but it's true. What you're doing, Jeff, is very, very important. I am very proud to be part of the East Anglian EDO radio show, because you are out there, and you are telling it like it is, and so is Tim, and so
and
is
Frank.
Frank's and
on the street,
people.
You know, when I look at Frank, he's
yes.
a big salute to Frank, because he does all his footwork. He's one of our foot soldiers, God bless him, and our own Tommy. You know, this is it.
Absolutely,
I mean,
our Tommy, and something
front
else
and everything.
Too. I want to share this. I'm going to go off on it.
Keep breathing, when Frank comes back. I mean, this is what we like, you know, and I think all our listeners like, you know, the debriefing, like when Frank's been on them and Tommy's been on them, you know, the different ways that they've seen things. It's so interesting for our listeners as well, isn't it, Kel? That's what, you know, they want to know. Because, as we know, ladies and gentlemen, you know that the media doesn't really want to put us in a good light. You know, whatever we do, the good works that we do, you know, they poo-poo it. But there's a lot of good people out there doing fantastic work, charitable works. But the people don't get the recognition simply because, you know, our media, our politicians, you know, they, as Kel said, complacent, and also they just want to, you know, just do what they do, try to throw mud at us all the time. But there's some absolutely, and I think, Frank, you would agree, there is some absolutely awesome people who's within the English Defence League, isn't there, bro? You would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and since I've joined the EDL, which was about 3 years ago, I just wandered into it, and I read the mission statement, and it just said it all for me. I didn't have to add anything to that, and then I followed the forum, and then I subscribed, and I chipped in. And since then, I've followed so many links, and there's so many other people outside the EDL. We're all coming to the same conclusion. We're all coming from different directions, but it's all going to nail it on the... It's all going to be... Find it in the same spot when we get there. It's going
to
be...
All roads lead to Rome, they say, Frank. I think that's the way you could put it, bro. That all, you know, all the different ways that we're doing, we are coming together. I mean, we've done a lot to make it happen. Even though the blocks put in front of us, Frank... The things that they said about us, we are still fighting a good fight, and we are on the ascendancy, you know. And as I say, I'm very proud to be, you know, a part of this great organisation, because we will never, ever surrender to the politicians or anybody when it comes to the state of our country and the future of our generations. We will fight relentlessly to protect our future. And I think you would agree to that sentiment, and I know Tim would as well.
It's a lot more effective. I mean, it's great to have heroes doing lots, but it's more effective for lots of people doing just a little bit. It really works a lot better.
Do you know what, Frank? That is really that's great what Frank just said there. You know, even if people just do a little bit, it doesn't matter. If everybody's doing a little bit, we can get
matter.
A lot
it
done.
It does matter.
Yeah, it does
There's
work. It
yeah.
does work, Frank.
I tell you what, can I tell you this little story? It's when I was working, I was a diver offshore, like, and I was out in
Would
Africa.
You, Frank? I
on
didn't
this
know that, boy. I didn't know that.
Anyway, I was out in Africa. It was in 500 foot of water. And I was supposed to be inspecting this pipeline and following this pipeline. And every now and again, there was these great big holes in the seabed, and you could drop a bus down it. And I got nervous because I was wondering what... That's the only thing that got me nervous, you know, and I was wondering what the bloody hell was living down there. Anyway, one day, one particular time, the ship broke down and we had to stay still. We couldn't move on along the pipeline. Because all the satellites need recalibrating and all that. And I had to sit right next to this bloody great hole. And I was pubbing myself.
I bet you would.
Turns out there's this little fish about 6 inches long, came right out to the edge of the hole, spat out half a dozen grains and went back down again. And it was that little fish. You see what I mean, Sophie? All that is just a few little grains out and spat it out ourselves. There'd be a bloody great hole in no time.
Well, what a great story to relate to myself and to the our listeners out there, Frank, a very good way of putting things as well. Would you not say that, Kel and Tim? That's a classic story.
I'd certainly say that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little bit analogous to what I've been saying for the past few weeks about how you digest all this information. And the phrase that I use is eating the elephant. And it's a great, big, horrible, scary thing, like the hole in the seabed that Frank was describing. But when you think how it can be overcome, it's a similar analogy, but in a different way. It needs lots of people to take lots of little bites, and then you can eat that elephant. And in the same way, a great big effect like Frank was describing on the seabed can be caused by lots of little fishes, just a few grains at a time. And it's the same analogy.
Okay.
But I like the way that Frank expresses it. Yeah.
I've got to say that's a great story, Frank. You know that you noticed that, and it's the way that you put it, and what with Tim said with the big elephant, how you going to go about that, small mouthful, you know, and we've talked about this on the show before, haven't we? We've talked a couple of times about that, that's the way. So if all of us don't do a little bit, you know, sort of helping, saying, you know, right, we've all said this, haven't we? People can do so much. What can you do for the EDL? There's lots you can do for the EDL.
Of course, the other thing you could do is you could take that great big horrible scary elephant and dump him in that big hole in the seabed, and then you've killed two birds with one stone.
As long as it's not related to spiders.
And just to let you know, Jeff, that Michael is here right now.
Okay, I was going to say before we welcome Michael, I'm going to have to do what we normally do.
I was
done.
Going to remind you, you're due for a break in 4 minutes, but I thought you might want to say hello to Michael.
Oh, I want to say hello to Michael. Once again, good evening. I know you're a little bit late this evening, but you know we're just glad that you're here. So welcome back to the show, brother.
Well, welcome. I'm here. And hello to Kel, Tim,
hello,
Frank, and of course you, Jeff. Yeah, I'm a little delayed. I was attending to some packages for our wounded warriors. I say that humbly. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back.
God bless
you. But in my travels, and Tim will find this interesting, all of you will, I came upon three women, two with hijabs and one just about completely covered, except for her eyes. I could barely see her eyes. And in a very benevolent way, I wished them a Merry Christmas. Now, unfortunately, it didn't go too well, and they weren't too pleased to hear Merry Christmas.
Oh, really?
Surprise.
Yeah, this is a true story. It just happened about 25 minutes ago. Now, the one with the niqab, if I'm correct, in identifying her covering...
Yeah.
Yeah, she got pretty offended, and she said, "We don't celebrate Christmas." And then I explained the significance of Christmas and the birth of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And then, of course, she got even madder because, as we know, the Quran emphatically denies that Jesus is the Son of God. And it, well, I still wish them a Merry Christmas, and all our Muslim friends out there listening in Radio Land, or on the internet today, I mean that wholeheartedly, a very blessed Christmas to you in the name of Jesus, the Son of God.
Yeah.
And yes, I will never, you know, the thing is that we never will deny that Christ is the Son of God, and of course that unfortunately inadvertently irks Muslims and followers of Muhammad because Allah has no partners according to their false teachings.
That's right, that's right. And so that is a very good point, is what we all say.
So
it doesn't matter what we say or do, Michael,
that there will always be an impasse, wouldn't there?
We have to wish every Muslim that we come across a very Merry Christmas. That's what we have to do. We have to show them the right path. And by wishing them a Merry Christmas, that's a step in the right direction. So everybody listening out there, take note. I think that is definitely the moral to be drawn from the story. Wish every Muslim that you see a very Merry Christmas, effusively, several times. Shake their hand, look them in the eye, wish them a Merry Christmas.
But don't forget to wish them a happy blue year. It's very difficult, Tim. I know you might say that, but
that
don't
one
forget.
Went right over your guys' heads.
I've got to mention this because this is also like very much the way of Islam. That if you're a lady and you wish them a Merry Christmas and you hold your hand out to shake them, they will not shake your hand because you are a woman. Now, you might not understand that, but that's how it goes. I know when I done, a little while ago, do you remember when we was doing the walk through Ipswich and we was with some of the Muslim community? We made history, actually. It was in the Telegraph, so we made a bit of history, what we did that day. But, you know, one of our angels actually went up to speak to one of the community leader, the main Manwan, went to shake his head. Do you know he refused to shake a man because of being a woman? So it just goes to show you what we talk about, the way that they tend to look at their women in that way. And that's just the point. It just come to me, woman, and I thought, my goodness me, because she said to me, she said, yeah, I tried to shake his hand a few, he just refused. And I said, well, I said, I'll be quite honest with you, that is the way they are. That is it. This is it, you know. We tried to be as polite and as friendly, and they were. I mean, it was lovely. As I said to the listeners at the time, do you know what, guys? I had a tear. You know, I shed a tear. This little girl, you know, man was, I think it was his granddaughter, his daughter, she's only about 5 or 6, and she gave us all. Who was there? There was about 19, 20 of us that was there that day. And this little girl gave us all a rose, and that touched my heart, that touched my soul. This pretty little girl, you know, and I thought, my goodness me. And, you know, there was a lot of pictures about, and, that's not something. As I said, I got quite, it touched me emotionally, this little girl giving us all a rose. It meant so much. But
it's
say,
really
that's what we see.
Sweet.
I'm
wondering,
that, you know,
hey boss,
that,
are you ready for a break? Because you have to refresh your tea, as it were.
Yes, please. I've got to say, once again, Michael, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the show. And straight
glad
away,
you're here,
we engage with a great bit of
good stuff.
Yeah.
How are you doing, all right? Oh, well, everybody.
That's being a good infidel. If we wish our Muslim neighbors a very Merry Christmas, I think it's the infidel way. That's my opinion.
Mm.
Michael, from your lips to God's ears, believe me. And Michael just got here, and we're already sending him on a break. Oh, that's okay, Michael. What we'll do is that we'll put the overtime pay in your paycheck for you this week. But
there you go.
Thanks so
Tommy
much.
Could not be here tonight because he is working frantically. They're wrapping up
for
Christmas.
Serious hours now, isn't he?
Very, very serious hours. I mean, this man, I don't know where he finds time to sleep.
He's wrapping up for Christmas, Kel. What is he? Is he one of Santa's little helpers? Is he at the North Pole?
Trust
you. You know he listens in archive. He's going to get you. You're getting coal in your stocking.
Yeah.
No, but I was I was talking with him, and I noticed that there's some music that he likes and I like, and we share similar likes in music. And I was sharing this song by Depeche Mode, "Enjoy the Silence," and I shared this video with him, and I said that this was amazing. This Depeche Mode, they taped this song on the roof of the World Trade Center shortly before they were attacked. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to load this into the studio for Tommy.
Yeah.
It's a great song. It's if you have a chance, go to YouTube and watch the video. It is fascinating. It's unreal. We're
yeah.
going to see you guys back here in 4 minutes.
And if I'm a little bit late.
I know, Jeff. I know the road. The official radio station of the English Defense League. Your host is Jeff Mitchell, and I am the technical producer. I'm Kel Fritzy. We have our panelists, and that is Tim Burton. We have Frank joining us. We have Michael joining us, and we want to thank you all for being here. While we're waiting for Jeff to get back, seeing it's the middle of the show, let's do a little bit of a roll call. Now, the thing is that I miss Tommy. I miss Tommy like pain because he's the only one who can do a very successful roll call, but I'll do my best. First of all, you have Jeff, you have Kel, you have Tim, you have Frank, and you have Michael. We also want to welcome ABBA into the group, into the chat room. We have Army of British News. We have numerous guests and guests. Thank you very much for being here. It's always a pleasure to have people file. And get yourselves an ID and join us in the chat and have your say. Has questions? Welcome very, very much. Paul Alexander, thank you so very much. Poppy from across the sea who lives too far away from me because I can't have tea in her kitchen, and it makes me very sad. We have Rim Soldier, Richard Millington, and we have Stealth joining us. It is just fantastic that you all are joining us here. We also want to thank everybody who listens in archive and on other listening devices. And guess what? The boss is back. Hi, Jeff.
Well, thank you, Kel. I just had a little problem there getting back. I had to ring in twice. But, Kel, before you go on, we've got Richard Millington here. Take his name, please.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling us not to, but take his name for our saying not to take his name.
Oh, that's right. Richard was late again tonight. Oh, Richard,
yes.
You know what?
Take his name anyway, Kel.
I'm taking the name, and I'm passing it on to Tommy, Richard. You're in trouble. Oh, Richard, he's blessed him. Please don't take my name. Come on.
Well, if you hadn't said that,
actually,
we might have
no.
Let it go past. But no, you've actually mentioned it, so we got to take your name. Kel, take his name again.
Okay. You know what, though? It's Christmas time. So actually what I'm going to do, I'm going to take his name, and I'm going to give him a gold star beside it.
do you know what, Kel? I know you're reading down, but I've just seen a dear, dear friend of ours, and that's Abba Kazab. And I haven't seen him, but I've got to wish him and his wife a very Merry Christmas. Brother, it's so good to see you. I haven't spoke to him for such a while. God bless you, bro, and all what you're doing. Okay. Sorry, Kel, I just see it. Oh, my
no,
goodness,
it's wonderful. Yes, I know. ABBA, it's great to see ABBA. I haven't seen ABBA
really
for a long, long time.
God bless you, brother. And I hope you're well, and I hope the wife's well and everything. Yeah. Okay, carry on, Kel. I'm sorry about that. It's just that I was so excited to see
no,
you.
No! Oh, gosh, no. It's fantastic. I was wondering, I don't know if you want to do this, if you want to delve into the conclusion of the Lee Rigby murder trial?
Yes, I think so. I was just going to say, Kel, Abba's just informing the chat room that he's piping it into the Pal Talk room. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen,
Abba,
we...
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Bless
and,
you, Abba.
And Merry
bless
Christmas
you,
to all in the Pal Talk stream. Thank you very much. That's so appreciative.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Abba. And for all of the Pal Talk listeners out there, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the room and listening to the East Anglia's EDL radio show. I haven't been on there for a little while. Okay, before we go into a discussion, you know, with the what happened today in the court with the
mm-hmm.
jury coming to the decision, I haven't tuned in, and I'd like to wish everybody, because as I said, I've been so busy lately, I haven't had a lot of time to go, and I'd like to wish everybody, all my dear, dear friends in the Pal Talk chat rooms, a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you all. And that goes for myself and for all the team on the East Anglia's EDL Radio Show, Kel and everybody. So there you go. I thought I had to give a quick mention because I've neglected them for a little while, and there's some really good people in that program as well.
Oh, I think it's
well.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are
there
fine folks there. Yeah, those are fine folks over there. And for them to take the time out of their busy schedules to listen to a program. I mean, our program, your program, Jeff, is just absolutely through the roof, fantastic, fabulous. And
yep.
All the same, though, people are busy.
Oh, so exciting
nice that they
to
take
see
their
Abba,
time out of their day to
for
be
a little
here.
While. Don't we care? We haven't seen Abba for a little while,
yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he's saying it was piping into the PAL talk room. Well, you know, wow. But big wave to everybody out there in the PAL talk world and the PAL talk programs. God bless you guys. So with that, Kel, yeah, we better move on. Otherwise, we're going to get sidetracked of what we was going to be discussing. And of course, today, as Kel was just saying, there was a conclusion to the trial that these Karanimals was found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
They got found, actually, they was found not guilty of trying to kill the policeman, but it's quite obvious. I don't know how they can be found
that's
not guilty
safety.
For that, because it's quite
I
obvious.
Think that's a safety measure, because I think what they did is the jury found them not guilty of attempting to murder a police officer, and personally, because I follow Canadian law and British law is similar, that was a bit of a safety net in that there would be no chance of an appeal. Of course, their solicitors will probably, I don't know what they'll do with an appeal. I certainly hope that nothing is forthcoming that way. But in Canadian law, the judge, when he charges the jury, he offers them the charges and he instructs them on what they think should all these charges apply. I think what the jury did was very wise in not finding them guilty for attempting to murder a police officer, because that would be one more appeal process that they would put the people through. This murder charge of Lee Rigby is justified, and that will not stand on appeal whatsoever. So I think the jury did a wise thing in not finding him guilty of attempting to murder that police officer.
But we've just
testified.
Got to see now, Carol, haven't we, what type of sentence the judge is going to hand down to.
Sentencing will be in January.
Yeah, so, you know, we just hope and we pray that these two Karanimals will never see the outside of a prison wall again. That's what we hope. And that's what I'm saying. I do believe that we live in times that maybe the judge many, many years ago would have just said there's no get-out clause for you. You're going to rot in prison. But the times that we live and the appeals, this, that and the other, that goes on, it's quite obvious that what we want and what will happen is two different things. And that's being in a realist, living in a realist world, but that is the situation. But as I say, they offered no. Well, there's no defence, was there? Let's be honest. Ladies and gentlemen, there was no defence. They didn't offer.
Oh
no,
absolutely there wasn't. They were making a circus, Jeff. This is what they were doing. This is the Islamist putting it to us again. Of course, they pled not guilty. I was looking in the chat room earlier as well, and there was one person.
Add to this story.
Okay, can I just finish what I'm doing here
for
a sec, guys? It there was one commenter in the chat room who said, "Why did it take the jury of 8 women and 4 men about 90 minutes to return a guilty verdict?" Well, what I know is that the jury, they probably had their, when the judge gave them their charges and they went into the jury deliberation room, I'm sure that they passed, they wrote on a piece of paper, guilty or not guilty, guilty or not guilty, and it goes into a hat, as it were, and the jury leader reads them out. So I'm pretty sure within the first minute, they all wrote guilty, guilty, guilty on their chit sheets, and the jury leader read them out. They found him, all of the jury panel found him guilty, and they sat down, and they had a nice lunch. Because why not?
Yeah,
they're being brought
in. Yeah, I can relate to that, Carol. Yeah, I can see that. Very good point. And, you know, they wanted to be seen that they were deliberating over the evidence that's been presented, and that's what the judge tells them to
do. Yeah, exactly, Jeff. And I'm just speaking as a layperson, but I'm pretty sure that that's what happened.
Yeah, I would tend to go along with that, although we weren't there. We weren't a fly on the wall that was the case. But, I mean, but then again, they delivered the verdict in quite a short time, really. Relative, what, it's 1.5 hours they were deliberating on it. Was it 1.5,
mm-hmm.
did you say, Kel? So it was in terms of sometimes juries can sit for days. At least a day sometimes, but the evidence was so damning and so condemning that that's it, you know, guilty, that's it, without a shadow of doubt. I mean, these guys actually said they was guilty, they, you know, that, and they're coming saying no, not guilty, and then actually going up there and saying, yes, we did this and we did that. Well, they totally condemned themselves anyway within their actions.
Absolutely.
And everybody said it, so...
Michael wanted to weigh in, and Michael, thanks.
Please.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a couple of pertinent things that should be mentioned here
mm-hmm.
that these scumbags did, these subhuman Islamist maggots. They're not worthy to be referred to as human beings because they're not. So one of the two scumbags, subhuman vermin, he kissed the Quran, and he smiled as the verdict was read. So this is very telling. It's very revealing. Anyone listening who isn't convinced that these people are a bunch of... I mean, it's all about Islam. It's all about the teachings of the so-called religion. So he kisses the Quran, and he smiles, and totally unrepentant, of course. Just despicable. I don't know, kind of infuriates me. To hear that, why
because
he's even permitted
in his
to
eyes,
that.
He shouldn't even be permitted to have a Quran,
but, you know.
In his eyes, it was his duty. You know, that's what he said, it was his duty. So he felt no remorse because in the eyes of, he thinks Islam, he done a good job in the case of Islam. That's what it really comes down to, doesn't it, Michael? Would you not agree?
Well, of course. I mean, one thing that this trial confirms is that all these atrocities and depraved acts of violence carried out by Muslims are done because of their ideology, you know, of the Islamic ideology in the Quran, the Sunnah, the Hadith, all that stuff. And those that say these people are extremists, they're not extremists. They're actually good, faithful, devout Muslims doing the bidding of their demonic god.
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Then
as well.
You know, the real issue is, and I mentioned this on a previous program when we discussed this, when any Islamic person is convicted of a crime, this is one of the most heinous ones, of course, and they're sentenced to prison, you know, what does that really do? They get their prison dawah, they'll get their halal food, no doubt, they'll be given a Quran, probably arrows to point to Mecca, and it's just infuriating. They should be killed, of course, executed. Unfortunately, the UK doesn't have the death penalty. But more important, their dead bodies should be buried with the carcass of rotting pigs.
Yeah.
Well, and that would send a clear message. That would send a message.
I think most of us on this panel would agree with that.
Oh, they're Quranimals. So even their dead corpses would find their way out of that one.
Well, no, because the thing is that, you know.
Blackjack Pershing did a whole lot there. I'm telling you, though. I'm wondering, though, like Frank has been instrumental in covering this case and bringing us information. Frank, what do you think about the verdict, and what do you think should happen? Like, what do you think will happen? Will they get, like, obviously they're going to get life sentences, that there's no death penalty in Great Britain. But, Frank, how do you feel about this? Because you have been instrumental in giving us information about this case.
Well, you're giving me a lot of honours I don't deserve here, but what I think about it, well, it's too early to think about it yet. I mean, it's obvious that they was guilty, and I don't think even the most cowardly dimmy would have had the bottle to come out with anything but. But what the verdict's going to be, I don't know. I mean, when you consider what Alexandra Blackman did, Sergeant Blackman did in Afghanistan in the heat of the moment. He got summoned to court, whizzed around the system and banged in jail 10 years in 5 minutes, done and dusted. Now all the bloody fuss and bother this lot called, they should be made to come back for the next 10 lifetimes and break bloody rocks.
I'm sorry for stepping in, but I know that Frank really wanted to.
He made a good point there. Thank you, Frank. But as I say, I go along with being a realist in living in the real world and living in the times we do with the way that some of these judges look at things, and maybe not a way that we tend to look at them. And I do believe that none of us. I think his family was pleased that justice has been served, that these people was actually found guilty on that most heinous crime which they committed. But at the same time, I mean, it's as they said, it's not going to bring Lee back. But these people should never see the outside of a prison wall, okay? They should sit in that prison and rot. There should be nothing, you know, all the niceties and giving them this, how this, that. You know what? I'd say, bugger that. You eat what the other prisoners eat, whether you like it or not. Whether it's to do with your religion, tough, well, don't eat. Starve yourself. We'll give you bread and water. That's what they used to do in the old days, didn't they, Frank? Bread and water. There you go. That's a stable diet for you. If you don't want to eat the normal prison food as other people, well, yeah, we'll just starve then, you know?
No,
and if you don't know that, you're going to starve yourself, you're going to go on hunger strike, then we'll put tubes down your throat to make you eat. So.
Oh, yeah. And Tim being there.
Choose your
well,
words carefully,
like,
Kel. Choose your words carefully.
I'm trying, Tim.
She's
but being there, you were mentioning at the near the beginning of the program that being in Birmingham, you're seeing no-go zones and stuff like this. When you see this sort of thing happening in your country, Tim, my goodness, how do you feel about the verdict today?
Well,
and what do you think should... Well, I know how you feel about the verdict, for goodness sake.
I mean,
what do you think should happen to these core animals?
Well, I'm looking at it from a slightly different point of view. I think as far as the verdict was concerned, guilty was the obvious verdict. The guy stood in front of the camera with a meat cleaver in his hand after the event and quoted the Quran chapter and verse, just basically saying, I did it, this is the reason that I did it. Now, I've said before on this show, and I think it's worth repeating again, that terrible though the murder of Lee Rigby was, if there's one good thing to come out of it, it's the exposure of the Islamic ideology that inspired people like Michael Adebolajo and Adebowale to commit murders like this. I still noticed after the verdict was given, there was various people that came on for TV interviews on various news channels. Now, and I wasn't paying attention to exactly who said what, but there was one guy, he was being interviewed and he was asked, what conclusions can we draw? And this guy was still trying to whitewash Islam. He was still saying, well, you know, these random murders will happen on British streets. And this interviewer was saying, random murder? How do you mean random murder? And this guy was saying, well, you know, bad things happen. You just can't tell where these things are going to occur. And it was absolutely no attempt to tie it into the Islamic ideology at all. All right, maybe the guy was just ignorant. Maybe he was just a dhimmi. Who knows? That was just one guy. But there are still people out there who will try and whitewash Islam. And I think it's harder and harder to do when you have something as heinous as the crime that this was that occurs. People start to see more and more that Islam is behind it all. And when some lying Muslim tells you that Islam has nothing to do with it, a good rule of thumb is that you can be sure that Islam has everything to do with it. And I think that's the rule of thumb that we all ought to keep in mind whenever Muslims are trying to tell us that Islam is a benign and tolerant religion of peace.
Yeah,
so,
doing their
jawal,
isn't it, and all that. Yeah, we
not,
this is
I'm
what
not
I'm saying. People are gullible, aren't they, Tim? Let's be honest. Tim, people are very gullible. That is the problem that we've got.
I'm not too worried about what happens with these two guys when they're in prison. I mean, quite honestly, I hope they meet with a couple of patriots in prison one night and
hope they get shivved.
Well, yes.
So we're not supposed to say that out loud, but we all know that's what we're hoping.
But I certainly hope that they get a far better form of justice, if that can be said to be justice, once they're behind bars and they've got the rest of their lives looking over their shoulders.
Oh,
so,
Tim, don't forget their human rights, though. Don't forget they always cry out, what about their human rights?
Sorry, I almost forgot their human rights there for a moment. That was very remiss.
I think what's going to happen
they don't
is that they're going
to cry out for it.
I wouldn't begrudge them their human rights if they at least took the trouble to qualify as human.
Well, yeah, but the point I was trying to make was we shouldn't really worry about what happens to these guys now. The verdict is never going to be overturned on appeal. These guys are going to spend the rest of their lives behind bars looking over their shoulder every moment at what's going to happen to them when they're in prison, because there will be somebody who will, I'm sure, decide that a life sentence isn't sufficient punishment for them. So anyway,
I have a question. And what I would like to know is, will they possibly, I mean, they're facing life imprisonment, of course, but will they be placed in solitary confinement, i.e. protected custody, do you think?
I'll tell you what I'd like to see happen now from a really bit of justice. I reckon I'd like to see them banged up with Alexander Blackman. They'd be in life, but it'd be about 10 minutes.
That would be justice.
They wouldn't last.
Very quick justice.
Yeah, they wouldn't last in the general prison population, obviously.
It's full of mice. No, the general population is full of mice. They're all getting their LL meats and everything.
It has to be said that prison governors have a duty of care towards all prisoners that are in their care. And if they felt that they were likely to be attacked or harmed in any way, then it's the duty of prison governors to place those prisoners into a situation where that risk is going to be minimised, if not eliminated altogether. So the chances are, if they're not placed in solitary confinement, then there will be some sort of segregation. So that probably would happen. They probably would not be allowed into the prison population at large, I would think. So
That's what I'm thinking. Remember a couple of months back when that killer of Chris Donald, a Scottish 14-year-old who was killed by a gang Pakistani man, and I can't remember which one it was who was attacked in the prison gym. It was Danish Zahid, I think. I'm not too sure.
It was a guy named Bladi or whatever, and he was attacked in a weight room. Unfortunately, the scumbag wasn't killed. He got a good thrashing, and he's still alive. So,
Michael,
I guess it's to be seen if these scumbags are put in some kind of protective custody for their life sentence. I hope somebody offs them in prison. I hope someone kills them dead. But I hope first that they shove a package of raw bacon down their stinking throats. I agree with that.
Well, there's plenty of people will prescribe the bacon.
Now, come on, Michael. Tell us what you really think.
Yeah, Michael, don't hold back. What
are
you
doing?
I'm going to get this.
Don't hold back, Michael.
You're holding back.
I'm not going to pull any punches on this one.
If you want to get vengeful, really, you should take a leaf out of Mozzie's book. They kill you and bring you back to life again.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's not vengeance, it's justice.
We can't do that.
The way I
see
it, it's justice. See, the problem is...
Just give them a bloody good hiding. When they come back, give them another one.
Right.
Until they finally crack.
Okay, look, we all know that... Muslims say they don't fear death. Now, the truth is a lot of them don't fear death because they're so brainwashed. They're so hyped up on that jihad garbage and, you know, the paradise and the virgins and all that crap, rivers of wine. So a lot of them are willing to die. But the thing that they fear the most is to be defiled which would interfere them ascending into paradise and, you know, collecting whatever they collect. So I really believe firmly that every Islamist terrorist caught should be punished in that manner before they're actually physically dead. The thing is, they have to know that they've been defiled, and then they
yeah.
will be tormented psychologically to know that Allah is waiting for them. Allah will now reject you, and Allah rejects you. You've only got one alternative. You have to go to the fires of hell.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
want to
exactly.
bring up
yeah.
another point.
I would say
and,
might lower the people I come to is maybe
yeah,
put them in a cell where you got a pig farm that's next door, maybe like something like that.
Pig races.
Yeah,
Poppy
is, Mike,
in the chat room brought up a really interesting point, and I love what Poppy said in that she shared that she's noticing that the mainstream media and the BBC in particular, now they're changing their tune about their approach to this case. And that's interesting. And I'm wondering, and man, this could be a turning point. And this is getting back to the focal topic tonight, that the people have spoken, and we're fed up. Even Poppy, when she says, yeah, BBC, they're changing their tune all right about this. Will this, do you think, change the approach the politicians take when dealing with the radicalization of the adherents, I suppose, of Islam?
Well, if you talk about the latter, the politicians, what we got in front of us, as David Cameron said, it's got nothing to do with Islam. So if we think that the people like David Cameron and the Boris Johnson's mind's going to change, I think we live in a very, in a bit of an illusion, because that's not the case. We heard him say those words. We heard him say also, going back a little while ago, that we should not, the Muslims shouldn't, sort of, assimilate with us, that we should really assimilate with them. So if we think that the politicians, these people like David Cameron and the Nick Clegg, their views are going to change, whatever, no, it's not going to. All today we've got those politicians, these sort of jellyfish backbone spined politicians. No, that's not going to be the case. What we're saying is we need a change. We desperately want a change with the political arena, with these cowards we have in our midst, the ones who betray a nation and our country, has been doing it for time after time. We want change, and we want it as soon as possible, because we are just, all the time we put these people in power, and our panelists, all we're going to get is the same crap, the same garbage. So we want a change, a total change with the way things work in our country. We deserve it. We, the citizens, deserve it. And I don't know if anybody, I'll start with a bit of a rant, because that's the way I really feel about the way things are.
I've just found something. I was looking it up on the BBC. It was on yesterday or the day before. I'm going to link it on the box. But even Prince Charles is getting cheesed off now. Even he's beginning to twig that he's been made a mug of. I'll post you this. This is in the BBC. And, it's pretty mild according to our sort of language. But coming from somebody who's been brought up on, what is it?
Well, maybe we are seeing some sort of a change, but we're never going to hear that language from the Cameron, because we know that Cameron tricky messages.
You there?
You all right there?
Yeah.
Jeff.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
There.
No, I'm sorry. I accidentally muted Jeff. Jeff, my apologies.
I thought laptop was playing.
I think, as I say, you know, I've got very strong views, and I know most people will agree with what we said. But actually, there's a little segment that me and Kel was talking about a little while ago, guys, and I think you'd like to, maybe you'd like to interject, Kel, and explain a little bit about what we're going to do next. Before we do, I've got to say, guys, tomorrow night, unfortunately, I've got a family event that I must be at, and unfortunately, I can't do the show live myself, but my colleagues with Kel, hopefully Tim, and other great people like Frank, or anybody who is part of our panel, will, you know, continue with our show. So unfortunately, I won't be here to attend the show, but I should be back Sunday as a normal show. And we're building slowly but surely. We've got a Christmas show in the very near future that we're going to do.
Jeff is in charge of the show in the studio. Hey, and oh my, look who's here. Tommy!
Oh,
hey.
Hello.
Oi.
Oh, I'm really sorry, guys. I've only been back from work for half an hour.
Well, good to have you on, Tommy. We know you've been running some late days there, young man, but good to have you back on the
show.
Yeah,
I hear you've been. I hear you've been up at the North Pole, Tommy, helping out as one of Santa's little helpers, wrapping things up. I think Jeff said.
I know, and they've even got their own set of elves trying to bring them Sharia law.
Yeah. The elf and Sharia workers. Yeah, there's nothing worse. But, yeah, that's what Jeff said. You've been wrapping things up, and I thought he's been up at the North Pole again. He's been doing his umpa lumpa bit. But.
Yeah, well, I will tell you guys, I started late this morning at 6:45.
Oh,
gosh.
That's
Are you pulling all those hours this week? My goodness.
Yeah, because a lot of people got Christmas time off, and you all know me, I won't turn down extra work.
Yeah.
Even if it does mean me getting a...
He'll have his Rolls Royce this time next year, Kel.
I have to tell you, so
Hey, Tommy, guess what? Jeff is going to be away, so the mice are going to play tomorrow night on the show.
Make sure you have a safe
Oh, I'm just scared when you say that. But, Tommy, it's good to have you back on...
on your journey, Joe, because I know last time you went down to London, you weren't in good health, was you?
No, you're right, bro. No, as I say, the thing about it is I'll be down, but I think they've got something on, and I won't be able to be there for the show. So I did give you a bit of a heads up on that, didn't I? And I spoke to Kel.
Yeah,
the only person I didn't speak to was... our dear Tim, although he was struggling at the time to get through the cat flap, as you know, Tim, he needs to go on his bloody diet.
Tim,
how
did you get on the other day then?
Which other day?
What was that?
Oh, my little episode up before the beak. Well, it's been adjourned. I've been advised that you know, I could be looking at some serious porridge, so you know, I've got to be prepared for that. But there you go. You can't keep a good cat down.
Well, I'll send you a bar of soap with a churn on it.
Yeah, that sounds like an excellent option. I could do with a cake with a fire.
So it's been adjourned to when, Tim? To middle of January or something?
Yeah, it's mid February. I'll give you some dates closer to the time.
Well, do you think we could try and get some, you know, a protest of support like we have done for Marine Air?
Well, that was what I was trying to avoid, actually, Tommy, because there are a lot
of
people...
Because I was thinking
of
saying,
The point I wanted to make was there's a lot of people far worse off than me, so I don't really want to take the spotlight off people who really deserve it. So,
I was thinking of signs that said, lock him up and throw away the bloody key.
Oh, thanks a bunch.
See what support you've got, Tim. It's already happening.
Even if we just sat there in the gallery, Tim, you know, just to show that little bit of support, you know, that we're backing you up all the way.
Yeah.
Yes, oh, my God.
Support like that.
Free the one. Free the cat.
Tommy, Richard Millington from the chat room said, Tommy, you're late and we have to take your name.
I have no
yet to break his name.
But yeah, you do have a good excuse. It's called having a job, working for a living.
Well, Richard asked us not to take his name because he was late, but we took it anyway, Tom. So did you want to take his name as well, Tom?
Yeah, I'll take his name. I did receive some good news today. I'm up for department manager.
Oh, I say.
Chief Elf, mate. I'll be bad.
Oh, sure what?
Yeah,
he'll be coming on talking like this, ladies and gentlemen, the next time. He says, good evening. I'm speaking from a different location today.
Hey, can we have a meeting?
Oh, I say.
Oh, yeah,
but anyway, so as I say, it's good to have you back. But there was a little segment that myself and Kel was talking about. So I think it's going to be quite interesting. So, Kel, I know she was busy uploading it into the studio just as before we went to air, but I'm going to pass it over to Kel. Maybe she can explain a little bit before we go ahead with this final segment for this evening. So, with that, over to you, Kel.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome.
First of all, I'd like to apologize to Army. There was somebody in the chat room, and he was being offensive, and Army tried to warn me, and I didn't pay attention. And Army, my apologies, this person, although he's not being kicked, he is on mute zone. So, but with that, I want to share something very, very nice, and this comes from our very own Martin Hive. And Martin Hive is sending his Christmas greetings to the EDL radio team. Jeff, you want me to play it right now?
Yes, please, Kel. Sounds good.
Okay.
This year, Britain's politicians and the media said the English Defence League would be over by Christmas. But as you can all see, we are still here. You may be able to silence one man, but you will never be able to silence us all. And as more and more acts of aggression are committed against the British people, and until our politicians start to act to prevent these things happening, we will always be here. We are never going to go away. So Merry Christmas from the English Defence League, and we will see you all again in 2014.
Oh, I like that.
Wow.
Nice, eh?
That was really good.
Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you, Martin, for putting that together for us all. And, of course, we are still here, and we are not going away. Doesn't matter what people think or say, the English Defence League is still continuing to move forward and do what we do the best. And we're really looking forward to in 2014. As I say, we've got some. We've been talking about discussions about future general demonstrations, and also don't forget, guys, that there's going to be a meeting, an RO meeting, in the middle of January. Can't remember the date. I haven't got it in front of me, but it's in the middle of January. So you know, after that, we will be discussing exactly the way we're going to be moving forward, and hopefully we'll have Tim Ablett once again on the show to come back and explain her. I've got something I've got to read out here. Okay, and this is from Ivan. He was just saying, just give me capitals. So just bear with me just a second. There's something he wants me to read out. So let me see.
Well, why
are
you loading that up, Jeff? I've got some other news.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, Thomas?
It's been 7 weeks today since my last cigarette. Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
I've really
yeah, nice one, mate.
Well done, Tommy.
How are you getting on with your e-cigarettes, bruv? Are you still doing okay?
I don't know how I live without it. I feel so much better. I feel a lot more energetic. I'm breathing a lot better.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yes. That's the thing about
I'm really, really proud of you. And you know what? As a non-smoker, you're going to save tons of money on your house insurance when you buy your home.
Yeah, plus I promised Pamela to gather a nice sum of money during the summertime to help her continue her bus campaign.
Oh, good for you.
I've got to say this now, guys. I hope you don't mind. Tommy, I hope you don't mind. But I was told to just read this out. And this is tonight at 10:30. I think it's on BBC One. And it's The Untold Story. Woolwich, The Untold Story. So half past 10, in 10 minutes' time, there'd be the Untold Story. Okay, guys? And Ivan told me to read it out on the show, and that's exactly what I'm doing. So I'm sorry that I interrupted just then, but Ivan just asked me. So it's only in 10 minutes' time, okay?
And you and Tommy, you're down to your last 10 minutes anyway, and we're not going to do too much of it. Well, I don't think we should do an archive at all, because Jeff, you've got to get busy.
I've got to be out really, really early in the morning.
Well,
guys,
not three for tomorrow night, Kel. I will be on the show for 8:30. So I'm going to get out for 7 tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Oh, Tommy, thanks for...
I've started that out today. My manager said to me, can you do another late one tomorrow? I said, look, I'm sorry, right, but I've got EDLG.
Yeah, Tommy, absolutely. Absolutely. This is a man on the move, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I gave my manager the link for the show, so if you are listening in, Tommy, I think I've left my computer logged on.
I know. Oh, bless you, Tommy.
I honestly think I don't know. I hope the cleaner turns it off. I will be on the show for 8:30, so I'll be calling off my phone again. I got my computer back yesterday, but there's now a tag on it, so everything I do on it is now going to be remotely accessed. So I'm now
going to
download Skype on it. My first network is going to be tracked on it. So that's why I'm using this handheld device now, because that's not being tracked.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Tommy, the price of hardware is so low now. You don't really need to worry about using your existing PC, do you? You can just use it to prop up a wonky table or something and get yourself a new PC. They're so cheap now. I just don't see the point of them doing that, because it's just a bit of hardware. You can just get a new hardware and have it up and running with your own configuration within half an hour. So I mean, why bother?
I'm going to upgrade on Saturday anyway. Because when they dropped it off before I went to work, I said, right. So they gave me some terms and conditions. Everything I do now is going to be remotely accessed. If my family goes and everything they look at, it's going to be saved onto a police memory drive. So like. So I said, I ain't doing that. Let's buy a new one on Saturday.
Well, there you go.
I'd just like to mention that we've got someone who's sitting in the chat room this evening, guys, he's of the Muslim persuasion. He's not one of those very nice people. So basically he's been muted and... and I think he's upset a few people, one of my dear friends.
But you will not get your voice on here. I'll tell you, eyes gone. Pretender ain't gonna follow no child molester. God for me.
So there you go. So
I just keep muting him and unmuting him. I'm not kicking him because he's rather entertaining. So I'm not out. I have executive control of the chat room, Tommy and myself.
You certainly
and
do, Kel.
and just too busy running a radio show, and so Jeff is trusting Tommy and myself to deal with these people. But I'm having fun with him, Jeff. I mute him, unmute him,
yeah,
mute
just,
him.
I normally do. He is fun, but you know, I don't want him upsetting. What our great people who sit in the chat room, because if you do, Isaac Gump, I will always do what I do. I will kick your butt.
It's not that horrible little scrut, is it?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying live now, that I will kick your butt if you try to abuse this great show of ours. You will be removed.
If I can quickly say something, when Mao Doody said in 1953 in Jordan that Islam is the old way of fascism. We have a no platform for fascists on this radio show.
Well said, Tom. Very, very good point there. I'm going to say, guys, that we are starting to run down now, and we're probably not going to have, because, as I say, there's something I want to watch in the Untold Story, so I won't have too much time tonight on the archive. So what I'd like to say to everybody is that Kel and Tommy and probably Tim, and you know, and Michael, and of course, not forgetting our dear friend.
Oh, Michael!
There. Yeah, Michael's here.
Oh, hey, Michael.
I'm right here. I'm just listening to all of you talk. That's all.
You're so quiet,
Michael. You're a great contributor to this show, and the people
he
love
sure
you.
Is.
You know what I mean? You are a big wow. You know, been getting.
I appreciate it. What's that? You said you had some trouble in the chat room. What's going on in the chat room?
We got some of the people I know very well.
He's not doing anything in particular, but
is he making death threats?
Islamic troll sitting there. I think what he's up to is what he actually wants to say to Jeff in Tommy's chat room is this.
Silence! I kill you!
if my closing statement can be this, last October, guys, me and Jeff, we opened at the Pal Talker where Martin Beale died, and we had a small memorial for him. Isaac Gump was there in attendance, you know, basically celebrating the death of a patriot.
Yep.
Sick.
Yep.
Remember that, Jeff?
Yeah, exactly,
Jeff? We're going,
Tommy.
Celebrating the Rugby?
No, it's one of our patriots died last year liver failure.
Yeah, that's
true. I was asking about outside.
Yeah.
Oh, Kev, you scared me. I thought there was someone outside shouting that.
I've got to thank...
Anyway, go ahead.
Thank you.
Jeff was speaking some important words.
Yeah, I was just saying that tonight, as I say, I won't be having too much of an archive session because I've got to be up quite early tomorrow because I'll be on the road and I'll be travelling, so I'm going to be really up early. So I've got a few things I must do, like packing my computer away while I'm talking to you now.
Get down there, Jeff, won't you?
Sorry, Sam?
Send me a text when you get down there so I know you're there, okay?
Yeah, I will do, Tom. Yeah. I will do. Yeah, I should be arriving at about 11:15, you know, where I'm arriving at, like, you know. So I should be down there quite. I know I've got someone to pick me up. I'm not sure who yet, but I know someone is.
Oh, right. Well, if it's another
I'm sure somebody will come along and take pity on that poor little guy in his cap, which is...
Well, I'd be begging, though, with me,
with
Kel.
His pee bag with the big sad eyes. Oh, honey, we'll take you wherever you want to go.
Kel,
be careful, Jeff. The wrong people don't pick you up. They might stick you under the Christmas tree.
Well, Kel, they might...
Stick me on top of the Christmas tree. I'm only little.
They might think to themselves, who is that short guy with the big suitcase and the big black jacket and the grey hood?
How true, Tommy.
just aside, how true. Yeah, I could sit on top of a Christmas tree. No one would recognize. No one would know. And that's right, Tom.
That's one
feed
of our
me,
angels.
Feed me. I don't take up very much room.
That's me, Kel. But all I've got to say now, guys, I'm just looking at the time. We are really down on the... I've got that lovely lady.
We're done.
90 seconds,
we are
sexy.
Done. Just have a safe journey and let us all know that you got there safe. And your hand. Your show is in good hands tomorrow night. No worries.
Oh my God! There's an evil light coming out there. Now you're frightening the life out of me. But guys, I'm really down to the bar. Kel, Tim, Tommy, Michael, Frank,
okay.
God bless you all, guys, and take care, stay safe, God bless you all, and guess what, no surrender ever. Thanks, Kim.
You got it.
Night, guys. Night, Tommy. Night, Tim. Night, Frank.
Good night, Michael. Love you, Dad.
People might say that I'm stressed before, but I'm so happy. I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and of mine. My new deal of tax was for Tommy Frank. And the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through your face.